Oh, such a clutch off-season pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
Shop Blinds.com right now and get up to 40% off select styles, plus a free professional measure and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Save up to 40% at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Local news can come at you fast. Want the latest on what's happening in your backyard? Download the free Odyssey app. Follow your local news station, and you'll get alerts on the top stories making headlines in your city. You can stay in the know, no matter what you're up to, and be among the first to find out when news breaks. Plus, keep tabs on weather and traffic, so you're never caught off guard. To get started, download the Odyssey app. That's A-U-D-A-C-Y. And follow your local news station.
97.1 FM Talk Podcast.
Good morning to you. You're listening to the Mark Cox Morning Show. Happy you're in here with us on a Monday morning. I'm Mark. That's Carl. We've got Susan Thomas helping us out with traffic this morning. It is a snoozer of a week in terms of traffic and people on the roads. I've been seeing four cars this morning and when I was driving in here. Carl, there is nobody. There's few people out at that hour anyway. But I saw even fewer this morning.
That's okay.
Why is that okay?
Gets us to work faster.
Well, that's true. We didn't have any problems at all. Kim St. Ange should be back tomorrow. She's been fighting this flu bug that's going around. Poor thing caught it, clearly fighting it during her week off, which really stinks to go on vacation and then end up getting sick. So
dang it.
I hope she's feeling better. I do. And if so, she'll be back with us tomorrow. And if not, after the new year, which will be happening on Tuesday evening, whether you got plans or not, you know, something to look back on.
Start at 4 o'clock if there is a winter classic with the Blues and Blackhawks playing at Wrigley Field.
Wow.
It's going to be beautiful.
Beautiful.
Except if it's snowing, which it might.
It could. We just don't know, do we,
Carl? Also would look beautiful on television, but I know a lot of people that are going up there.
Yes.
I do not envy them.
Not at all. No, thank you. I've done those outdoor events in the snow before. Not interested in it these days. All right, coming up, we'll get to Jesse Jane Duff in just a couple of minutes. Tom Ackerman with more on the Mizzou Bowl game that's going on today. We got my friend Jack Bowman is going to join us at 8:45. This guy has... I'm so envious of what he gets to do. He's a travel tour director, runs his own company, travels the world, lives in London half the year. I mean, he's got some great stories to tell and maybe some advice on some spots you could visit in 2025. And he'll give us a lowdown on all that at about 8:45 or so. But right now, I want to get to our top stories, please.
The Mark Cox Shortlist.
Those of us who have been fortunate to have served as president understand this is a very exclusive club, and only we can relate to the enormous responsibility of leading the greatest nation in history.
Yep, Donald Trump's message there on the death of Jimmy Carter last night. Fox News reading his Truth Social tweet, and he and Melania both sending their condolences to the Carter family.
Happy holidays, everyone. I know it's been a difficult few months for so many of us and that folks are feeling a little bit anxious and uncertain.
Yeah, that's Michelle Obama. She's back.
Now we're feeling what not having hope feels like.
Yeah, I'm not sure that's a message most of us were looking for, but she's sharing it anyway.
If we're going to get this right, and we have 4 years to do it, we better have a plan that doesn't leave anybody behind.
We need more cowbell. That is Representative Joyce Beatty from Ohio, who has thrown her hat into the ring to be the head of the DNC, and she wants more DEI to go along with it, she says.
They covered up for Biden's mental acuity decline. They covered up on the Hunter Biden laptop, Facebook, and other social media.
Yeah, that is Cal Thomas giving him hell this weekend on the Fox News Sunday show with one Shannon Bream. Because I think he's right. What they were doing was talking about winners and losers for 2024. Setting Kamala aside for a moment, and maybe Biden as well, is there a bigger loser in 2024 than the mainstream alphabet media in this country? Can you think of one? They got it all wrong again. They wanted to lead you to believe that this thing was neck and neck right up till the end. And there's no doubt in my mind they were seeing a lot of the same internal polling that the campaigns were seeing. They knew what was about to happen. They knew it. They couldn't come out and admit it from the Harris campaign wasn't going to say, well, we know we're behind in this state. They were never going to admit that. But the media was dishonest in the way they reported it, because it's about driving viewership more than it's about bringing you the truth. It's about, this is how we branded our product, whether it's local news or network news. But the mainstream media in this country failed you in 2024. So Cal Thomas gave them his biggest loser award for the year, and here's why.
They covered up for Biden's mental acuity decline. They covered up on the Hunter Biden laptop, Facebook, and other social media. Covered up on the New York Post story about the Hunter Biden laptop. The 51 intelligence agencies who the Russia thing signed off saying it was true. The media followed all of this. And I think it's a disgrace to the profession that I've been a part of for a half a century. And I wish we get some new blood in the media to actually practice journalism instead of practicing politics.
Yeah, I think it's absolutely right. That they weren't practicing journalism. They've been practicing politics. Completely. You know, sometimes cover gets pulled back a little bit, right? The curtain gets pulled back and you get to see the great Wizard of Oz in all of his short stature standing behind a machine where he was making sound effects. Don Lemon gave us a glimpse into that yesterday. You know, he was supposed to be a news person at for years on CNN telling you the truth, and it's, you know, this is the Don Lemon show, and you knew that he was biased toward the left. But did you know what he really thought about you all that time? Did you? You probably do by now. This is what he said yesterday. He's gloating because he thinks that the circular firing squad that's been set up over this H-1B visa story is worth going to the mat over. And it's a whole bunch of nothing is what it is. Listen to the rant he went on yesterday against MAGA people, because he thought he'd found a chink in the armor. Listen.
You're so stupid and you deserve it. You deserve it because you're so dumb. Jim, it's hypocrisy. So go with me here. Yes, I am gloating over your stupidity and how you were taken. I'm cackling in Kamala, says in Shanta. You have been co-opted because you're in a cult. And you don't even realize it because you have stupid MAGA brain and you don't get it. How stupid and dumb are you?
Somebody needs to do a buddy check on Don Lemon. I think he's finally gone over the edge. Like, he's having a little bit of a mental health crisis there, I think. He was trying to argue that if you believe Donald Trump and all he said about immigration, you're stupid and you're dumb, because look, he now claims he supports H-1B visas. And before he said he didn't support it, what he said was he thought it needed to be reformed. So it's not being used to circumvent existing immigration requirements. But this has got to be a gnat on an elephant's butt compared to the problem of illegal immigration in this country. In other words, it's a nothing burger. let them argue over how to reform H-1B visas, which means they can bring in engineers and people from overseas to work at big companies in the U.S. because they have a system set up to vet people when they're doing that. Who cares? The percentage of people that affects is minuscule. But 30 million illegals in this country sucking on the public teat, that's a bigger deal. And that's what Trump is still planning to fix. And apparently, according to Tom Holman, they're starting now before January 20th even gets here. So we'll see what happens with that. We're going to talk to Jesse Jane Duff coming up. I am planning to attend the inauguration. I've got a hotel room. We're making our plans to go to D.C. Jesse Jane is going to be part of that inauguration committee, putting the whole thing together. It's going to be huge. We're going to talk about it coming up.
They did on accident. I mean, we're going to secure the border. We're going to run the biggest deportation operations the country's ever seen. Look, and I've been very clear on this. We're going to prioritize, and President Trump's been clear, that the prioritization should be on criminals and public safety threats. And I don't know what congressman, whether you're a Democrat, Republican, independent, would be against removing public safety threats from community. That should be a nonpartisan issue. That's exactly what we're going to do. And we're going to do it without apology.
I am hard, but I am fair.
Good morning, motivator.
From now on, you will speak only when spoken to.
Take the hill. We got a long week.
Jesse Jane Duff on the phone with us this morning. You know, Jesse, I can easily envision Tom Holman volunteering to take the night shift at the border. Like, that's the kind of guy he is.
You know what? I believe Tom Holman should have me on his staff. I mean, it just kind of came across me. Like, we have a very similar personality. You know, I'm more than happy to arrest you if you want to defy the laws. You started with you, Mark. I just want to let you know. I have no fear, no favor. You know, you want to defy the laws. I have been in place for how many decades that suddenly everybody pretends never happened. Yep. We couldn't seem to exist in this country without those laws because the Democrats have actually overwhelmed and surpassed every single federal law. This is illegal migration is not legal. So here we are.
Yeah, no kidding. Well, I love what he's saying and what they're doing and talking about. I mean, they are spurring action 20 days before they even take office. It's amazing to see the reactions around the country to what's coming.
Yeah, I wouldn't be surprised if we start seeing, you know, when you see those, what do they call them, the caravans of people going up?
Yeah.
Well, I wouldn't be surprised if we start seeing the caravans start going down because everybody knows that, you know, a lot of this is going to cause personal deportation. You know, do you really want to be facing the crisis that's going to about to come upon you for hiring people illegally without having the appropriate documentation, paying them under the table for jobs that people claim, oh, Americans don't want to do that, when in fact Americans are more than happy to do many of these service jobs that the illegals are taking and getting paid below the market. You know, these corporate entities want to make profit off of them.
Uh-huh. Well, you know, Jesse Jane, what's your take on the H-1B visa controversy? I think it's a whole bunch of hoo-ha over nothing because it's not the issue. The people being brought here legally to work is not the issue. The issue is the people that are breaking into the southern border.
Well, here is the issue. I actually have firsthand experience with this. I was a staffing professional for well over a decade in Washington, D.C., getting STEM people, science, technology people to do cyber warfare.
Yeah.
I actually saw the running mate for RFK top post, and I thought it was very ignorant what she posted, that she had been the CEO of a company that had hiring, and these jobs were grunt coding jobs that Americans didn't want to do, and they didn't like the wages that were being extended to them because their education was so expensive, and they felt they were worth more. And I shot back at her. It's a very long tweet where I said, so what you're telling me is you lowered the wages and didn't pay Americans their value based upon their education, when in fact you deliberately lowered the wages to hire people and excused yourself by saying we couldn't find Americans to do the job. Here's the thing. When you hire somebody with an H-1B visa, because I worked for Pepsi Cola for a brief time, you have to post that job and ensure that an American, somebody with U.S. citizenship that's here already here, doesn't apply for the job. Okay. And what happens is that they deliberately lower those wages so that Americans don't apply for the jobs to justify filling it for an H-1B visa. When I worked at Fannie Mae, I saw the same thing when they were trying to hire an accountant with the H-1B visa. It's a lottery program. There's only so many a year. And I kind of scolded the manager, who could have cared less what I was saying, because she was trying to get somebody hired that was one of her buddies, probably from, I believe, she was of Asian descent, Chinese, and wanted to get somebody on board. An accountant. You cannot tell me, you cannot find an American as an accountant. So what they do is they lower those wages, they make sure that they get these H-1B visas to fill these jobs, and you cannot tell me that we don't have enough tech industry in this country to fill those jobs, because we do. I found them, they are paid well, and they graduate from top universities with computer science degrees, and they're paid appropriately. But Silicon Valley has made a rampant pretty penny off of people with H-1B visas claiming we can't find Americans. It's hogwash.
So do you think President Trump has stepped in it? Some people have suggested that, because he's now said that he's in support of it.
He's in support of H-1B visas, but you have to validate it by you do not have an American workforce to support that particular technology, period. Hard stop. If it's in that, now, I'm tired of seeing people have to go to Canada to get their citizenship that are doctors and high-level people that we could actually utilize. There should be a way of people being able to become citizens besides plopping a baby over the Texas and California border, and now you got an anchor baby thing going. We have to refine this process. I have no problem with people coming here to work legally. I do have a problem with lowering wages, because on average the wages are 17% to 30% lower when they hire H-1B visas compared to the U.S. staff. So what they do is they water down the wages, make sure that Americans don't apply, and then they can cry to the Department of Labor, oh, but we couldn't find an American. Yep. Yeah, because you're paying $50K for an $80, $90K or $120K job.
Yeah, so it needs to be reformed, no doubt about that.
Absolutely, hey, come here legally.
What can you tell me about the inauguration? Because you're going to be involved in that this year, right?
You know, I'm super excited, and I guess they realize that I'm not good at anything, because they haven't quite tasked me with anything yet. You know, they haven't, you know, I haven't gotten the email, please, Jesse, order the bleachers to get people seating arrangements. They haven't sent me the note cards that I have to fill out by hand to make sure that everybody has a place to sit. Mm-hmm. I will tell you, the Veteran Coalition, if you had signed up at veterans.donaldjtrump.com, every single member of our Veteran Coalition got an invitation to come to the inauguration, which I'm quite impressed with. They got that out. We also will have the Medal of Honor recipients that all endorse President Trump. They will come. We, as long as they're able to come, we will be paying for their travel and their hotel. So Elon Musk, thank you very, not Elon Musk, I'm sorry, Mark Zuckerberg, thank you for the donation. We appreciate that. All of those. So it's basically going to allow us to ensure that the people that matter the most will be recognized. We also, on the 18th, there will be a ceremony at Arlington Cemetery, and all those who want to attend, we welcome them to come and line the streets and wave the flags as President Trump comes to Arlington Cemetery for the celebration, or the honoring, I should say, at the Tomb of the Unknown Soldier on the 18th of January. So if you're coming into town early, head over to Arlington and let's show the new president, who is actually our old fabulous president, the new president, a wonderful welcome back into D.C.
That's I'm so looking forward to it, and maybe I'll run into you while I'm up there. I'm looking forward to that, too.
Well, maybe, but, you know, I'm going to put your name out there for Secret Service to keep a special eye on.
Thank you.
I have that power now. I don't have a lot of power, but I do have a little bit of power.
thank you for that, Jesse. Thanks for looking out for me, I guess, or
I
looking
will,
out for
I will,
you.
Yeah.
Yeah, one of the two.
Yes.
Hey, Happy New Year.
It's going to be exciting. Happy New Year. I'm excited. We will be seeing each other soon. Actually, I'm sure I will see you on the 20th, because I'm going to make a special effort. You're a dear friend. I've known you many years. And I'm, you know, free labor, so you love me too. I don't even have an H-1B visa to do this.
Dang. We got to work on that for you, for sure.
We'll No. Never. You know, talking is my forte. I shouldn't get paid to do it anyway.
We will talk to you in 2025. How about that?
Yes, we will. Take the hill, motivators. We only have a few weeks left of Joe Biden getting lost to where the bathroom is.
Amen. Jesse Jane, thank
Amen.
You. We'll talk soon. Always great having her on. Coming up, Tom Ackerman on the Big Mizzou Bowl game with Iowa today. We'll be back.
A great sports mind like Tom Ackerman.
Baseball is really not a hard sport.
It is Anchor Man, not Anchor Lady.
It's like powered by coffee this morning.
Sports, sponsored by McDonald's. Reminding you to round up your total for Ronald McDonald House Charities on your next order.
Well, Tom, almost Happy New Year, my friend.
Hey, what's up, buddy? Happy New Year. How you doing?
Good. Doing good. Good. Anxious to watch a little football this afternoon. What are you thinking?
What a great football week this is.
You
got
really
Mizzou
is.
Today. You got Illinois tomorrow. You got Penn State tomorrow night. You got Texas, Arizona State. The early game, Ohio State, Oregon is going to be awesome on New Year's afternoon. New Year's night is Georgia, Notre Dame. What a great matchup there. NFL action yesterday. Great football week. Just all around great football week. I like Mizzou today. It's going to be a tight game, though. Iowa plays methodical, low scoring. They run the ball. They don't throw it very much. They run it pretty effectively, and they have a really good defense. So this would be a good challenge for Mizzou. Brady Cook's last game, I would expect him to win the game. I mean, he just finds ways to win games. Yeah. They don't have Luther Burden. He's declared for the NFL draft, so he's opting out of this game. But they have weapons. You know, Theo Weiss will be on the outside as usual. They'll have Noel running the ball. They'll have a number of running backs getting an opportunity there. It's a good football team. And Missouri, you know, goes out a winner here. I think it's a great feeling going into 25. The Mizzou won it last year. They won the Cotton Bowl, beat Ohio State, a depleted Ohio State team, we should say, but an Ohio State team that got beat by Mizzou in the Cotton Bowl, and they went 11-2, and you know, a chance to go 10-3 this year and be 21-5 over the last 2 years. This is more than going to Nashville and winning a game. This is establishing that you are a prominent football program once again.
Right.
And I think beating Iowa is actually a big statement regionally. You are competing for recruits with Iowa. Iowa loves to come into St. Louis and take players. They've been doing it for years. You got to put your foot down and say that's enough.
Here's my question, though. You brought up Ohio State, and I know that's a craw in the mouth of a lot of Mizzou fans. Well, so what if they were depleted? We beat them anyway. Iowa's quarterback. Starter is out of this game. He's transferring. He's put his name in the portal. He's not playing. They got another star running back or something that's not playing because of the draft. Just like Luther Burden is not playing because of the draft. I think personally they've got to fix. I heard somebody say this the other day. I'm trying to remember who it was. If it was one of the ESPN sports personalities or someone, that they're heading toward a wall, that they've got to address this portal situation, because it's ruining the game, in my opinion, that you can just decide you didn't like the NIL money you got. It wasn't quite what you thought it was going to be, or the coach looked at you sideways and you didn't like it. So, you know, to hell with you, I'm transferring to another school next year. Do you agree with me that they need to fix that?
Yes. Now, let me address two things. One, yeah. Ohio State losing to Missouri last year doesn't hurt them. They're Ohio State.
Oh, no, I get brand. It.
But it helps Missouri. It doesn't matter who's playing for Ohio State. It helps Missouri to say, we beat Ohio State in the Cotton Bowl. They're going to put that big framed championship up on their practice facility. They're going to tell every player that walks in there, we went down, we won the Cotton Bowl, beat Ohio State.
Right.
It doesn't matter. Their program. So when you play Iowa today, it is pride. And Iowa will be playing to win the game, and they might be depleted, and Missouri might be also. But this is about your program finishing on a high note. And that's why I think some of these bowl games, whether players are opting out or not, are important, because it does give your fans a chance to go see you one more time. Yes, that's great. But it's finishing on a high note. If they get beaten by Iowa, I think it raises some questions, even though both teams are missing players. Now, to address the NIL, I totally agree. In fact, this Missouri is indirectly involved in this thing, because Bo Prabula, the Penn State quarterback, backup quarterback, left, went into the portal, and transferred to Missouri. You may say, what's the big deal about that? Hello, Penn State's playing right now in the playoff. They're trying to win a national championship, and their backup quarterback just left the program.
Yeah.
In the middle of the playoffs. I mean, that to me is a red flag. Now, Missouri did, it's not Missouri's fault. I mean, a guy goes into the portal.
No, I don't
they're
blame,
not
I don't blame
like,
the schools that are getting the
like,
players. But
we really need a quarterback. I'm sorry, we can't take you. That doesn't seem ethical, or you should go back to Penn State.
Yeah.
I mean, he's in the portal. It's done. So you go get the guy. And they did. Missouri did that, and they paid him. And by the way, there were other teams looking at Prabula as well, as my alma mater was, Indiana. They got him, and it is what it is. but it raises a red flag. So James Franklin was asked about that yesterday in his press conference. Bo Perbula leaving, going to Missouri, middle of the playoffs. Is this an indication that we got some problems here? And he said, yes, we do. College football is broken. He didn't say use those words, but along those lines, what you and
it's true.
Talking about.
Yeah.
And he said, I have a suggestion. College football needs a commissioner. It needs a leader. And I have just the man for the job. And they said, who's that? And he said, Nick Saban.
Wouldn't he be awesome?
Nick Saban should be the commissioner of college football. When Nick Saban speaks, he makes a lot of sense, I think, every single time. When he speaks on game day, he left Alabama with, you know, all the national championships and everything. But he did cite the issues with NIL kind of affecting that decision a little bit. And I think that he would be the right man to at least talk some sense into all sides and try to bring everybody together. I think it's a nice suggestion by James Franklin, actually.
Yeah.
I do think they need to clean it up. That said, look, there's a lot of money in college football, a ton of money in college football. It's going to go. It's going to take a step further. There have been suggestions, and now his name escapes me, but I saw the video yesterday, the former owner of the Milwaukee Bucks, who is a billionaire, and I could look it up, but why? I'm trying to think of the name. Maybe I'll look it up real quick. But anyway, he was in a panel, and he said, I'm going to tell you what's going to happen. We are going to have college football programs being sold. And the moderator said, sold?
What?
Sold to whom? And he said, sold to us, billionaires. So you're going to see, and it's already happening, he said, discussions are taking place where these billionaires are going to swoop in and they are going to buy 51% of college football programs. And they are going to then reap the benefits and manage all this money that's coming in, new facilities. Look at
the
ROI. I mean, look at the ROI. They are making money, and hundreds of millions of dollars potentially are flowing in with these investments.
Mark Lazary.
Is that who it is? Yeah. I just want to confirm that that's the link that I got.
Yeah. I'd never heard that before, but that's crazy to
Mark
me.
Mark Lazary. So I have the clip right in front of me. But that's what he said. And he said, I think it's a phenomenal opportunity. And so that's the next step. Yeah, it's big business, man. I mean, people are paying, networks are paying billions of dollars. People are paying lots of money. People are watching. College football is the number two sport in America now, behind the NFL. It has passed all other pro sports, only the NFL to chase, and it'll never catch the NFL.
They're ruining it. The change could be simple. I mean, I don't expect that I'm going to change the NIL thing. You're not going to get that back in the bottle. But at least put a two-year limit on it. If you put your name in the portal and you transfer to another school, you have to stay 2 years or you're going to lose 1 year of eligibility if you transfer out of that program into another one.
There are players who
they have to do
are
that.
Playing for... four programs.
Maybe I know.
Could play for five.
I know. It's crazy.
I know of some that are playing for four. Probably some that are playing for five that I haven't thought of.
For basketball and football, they've got to put that rule change in effect.
Now, there are some good things about NIL. And one is that players can now support their families. Some of that money is going to good, is supporting families, allowing them to come to games. Families who could hardly scrape together enough money to feed the family are now able to do that. Those things are happening. Programs like mine, Indiana, which was dormant for years, Kurt Cignetti comes in, says, what's your NIL collective? They said, we got you covered, buddy. So they paid him and his staff, and they started throwing money around, and he hit the portal hard, and boom, Indiana wins 11 games. Places sold out, rocking. Unbelievable for the university. Incredible atmosphere. The whole state's rallying around this program. That's good. I mean, that's good exposure for football. But you have to be able to put some rules on this.
Have to.
You have to be able to do it. I mean, you probably need to get some sort of cap in place where these teams can only spend X number of dollars. But right now, you do have some parity in college football. So another good thing is there are a lot of teams that are winning. There's a lot of attention being paid at the exact same time that there's a college football playoff with 12 teams.
Love the Nick Saban idea, too, for sure.
Yeah.
Hey, buddy, thank you for giving us all your time this year. We appreciate you.
Oh, my gosh.
We do.
You know
Happy
what?
New Year,
I
brother.
Appreciate that very much. I look forward to it. I will be here Thursday if you are.
Oh, yes. We'll be back Thursday.
I'll be back Thursday. And I do want to say that I was at the Blues game yesterday, and Carl, you did a terrific job.
Thank you, Tom.
And I enjoy the atmosphere very much. I just can't understand why the Blues are 7-9-1 at home. Why they cannot win games at home.
Their passes are getting caught.
Yeah, they really, you know, Buffalo just found a way to get chances without a lot of shots, but they beat them yesterday 4-2.
It was the fifth time that they've scored on their first shot, Buffalo has.
Oh, it was really something. Took the air out of the building. Great.
Yeah, no doubt.
But it was great atmosphere. Had a good time. Blues play at Wrigley tomorrow.
Cool. Yep. All right, Tom, thank you. Appreciate it. You bet. Hey, coming up, we're going to talk to my friend Jack Bowman. I got him to get him on the phone here. This guy lives the life, man. I'm telling you what. Travels all over the place. Takes people on tours around the world. He's got some great ideas for some destinations for you for 2025 if you're thinking about that big vacation. We'll get to all that for you straight ahead. Stay tuned.
Turkey. So I did 11 days in Istanbul, and then I did a day trip to Ephesus, which, you know, of course, features in the Bible, letter to the Ephesians. If you will please turn to the letter of Ephesians.
Yeah, no kidding.
But really, it was amazing. Istanbul, Turkey, Western Turkey is much more European than you might expect. The more like traditional kind of Arab or, you know, maybe conservative Muslim aspect of that region is much more east. So it was like being in Europe in many ways, but with these Eastern influences, the architecture, the food. It's 25 million people, this city. So it's the biggest city I've ever been into. I mean, it's amazing and safe. I felt very, very safe.
Yeah, I'll bet you did. You know, I know a lot of people are looking, maybe thinking about where they want to travel coming up this year. And what are some good ideas? I mean, what are your thoughts on some great places to think about that maybe people haven't considered a trip to before?
Sure. Well, I'll give that answer two parts. If you haven't been to Europe, you should start with in Italy, in Ireland, in England, in Scotland, maybe a France. Western Europe is a great place to start. The infrastructure is there. There's plenty of English speakers. And, you know, Italy alone has something like 70% of the world's cultural heritage. So an infinite amount to see. So it's your first time to Europe. I would recommend doing somewhere in Western Europe. But trending, what's changing now across the landscape is places like Albania, Poland, Slovakia, Macedonia. So lesser known places are becoming more and more popular. Central Europe, you know, Prague has certainly always been a favorite, but it's becoming kind of the new Italy as far as numbers and travelers go. So you could always join one of my tours. You know, I'm doing Vienna, Prague, Budapest this year, doing a Rhine River cruise, and then I'm doing Switzerland. Those are the three Geister tours that I'm running this year.
Wow. I mean, that sounds amazing. And, of course, you and I went along on that river tour when we went on the Danube, starting in Budapest, which was just an amazing trip. For people that haven't done that, I mean, I was surprised. I told you this when we were on the boat. You know, you think of Viking river cruises, and you think that's the name that pops to your head. When we were on that river over there, I bet I saw 25 or 30 different names of companies that do those tours that you just never hear about over here.
Right. That's very true. Yeah. River cruising has always been popular, but really in the last 10 years, it's become very popular. I was always in the assumption that river cruising is, you know, something you do at the twilight of your travel years.
Yeah.
But that is just not true at all. Younger people are doing it. I've done it three times. I've done the Rhine, the Danube, and the Seine. And I loved it. The accommodations are much bigger than you'd see on, like, the big cruise ships. So the accommodations are great. It's not a huge ship, so you don't, doesn't take 15 minutes to walk down the hallway. 200 people or less, so manageable. The food is world class. They get these Michelin star chefs from all over the world and hire them for these ships. And then, of course, you get to stop right in the old town.
Right.
Instead of finding a place to park, doing this, doing that, you just step off the boat and, oh, there's, you know, a castle. There's Heidelberg. There's so many places that just pull right up into the old town.
It was pretty awesome. Jack and I hiked up to a castle right there in on the edge of Germany, and the road was closed. Exactly. And the road was closed. We had to go around the back way and hike to the top of this thing, and it all paid off with some great Pilsner beer when we got up to the top.
Hey, listen, castle, great views, and a cold beer.
Yep.
I mean, what else do you need?
It doesn't.
And listen, a little road barrier, Mark, is not going to stop me.
No, never. Never is that going to happen. So people can go to guidester.com, just like it sounds, guidester.com, and they can find out more about trips you've got planned for 2025. Now, you're going to be based in London part of the year again, right?
Yep. So I live in Western London. It's called borough called Richmond, which people that are familiar with Ted Lasso.
Get more at 971talk.com.